So, 30 years ago, the late Sir Terry Pratchett and I wrote a book together. He wasn't Sir Terry Pratchett then, he was my friend Terry. And we thought it would be fun to write a book together. And we set out to write the funniest book that we could about the end of the world and how we were all going to die. It featured an angel and a demon who had met for the first time in the Garden of Eden and had stayed down here on Earth ever since and had basically gone native. They liked it here. Earth had restaurants. Earth had this. And in accordance with Terry's last wishes to me, I wound up spending the last few years making the book that we wrote into a television series. And the book and the television series are both called Good Omens. We thought that a reading from Good Omens would be a good and important thing to do tonight. To read it, we have a special guest, the actor who plays the Demon Crowley on the television series. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Tennant.
The Antichrist had been on Earth for 15 hours, and one angel and one demon had been drinking solidly for three of them. They sat opposite one another in the back room of Aziraphale's dingy old bookshop in Soho. The table in front of the two of them was covered with bottles. "The point is," said Crowley, the point is, he tried to focus on Aziraphale. "The point is," he said, and tried to think of a point. "The point I'm trying to make," he said, brightening, "is the dolphins. That's my point." "Kind of fish," said Aziraphale. No, said Crowley, shaking a finger. "Some mammal. Your actual mammal. Difference is," Crowley waded through the swamp of his mind and tried to remember the difference. "Difference is they mate out of water?" volunteered Aziraphale. Crowley's brow furrowed. "Don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's not it. Something about their young." Whatever. He pulled himself together. The point is their brains." He reached for a bottle. "What about their brains?" said the angel. "Big brains. That's my point. Size of damn big brains. And then there's the whales. Brain city, take it from me. Whole damn sea full of brains." "Kraken," said Aziraphale, staring moodily into his glass. Crowley gave him the long, cool look of someone who has just had a girder dropped in front of his train of thought. "Huh? Great big bugger," said Aziraphale. "Sleepeth beneath the thunders of the upper deep, under loads of huge and unnumbered polypole, bloody great seaweeds, you know, supposed to rise to the surface right at the end when the sea boils. Yeah? Fact." "There you are then," said Crowley, sitting back. "Whole sea bubbling, poor old dolphin, so much seafood gumbo, no one giving a damn. Same with gorillas. Whoops, they say, sky gone all red, stars crashing to the ground. What are they putting in bananas these days? And then they make nests, you know, gorillas," said the angel, pouring another drink and managing to hit the glass on the third go. "Nah, God's truth, saw a film, nests." "That's birds," said Crawley. Nests, insisted Aziraphale. Crawley decided not to argue the point.
There you are, then,
he said. All creatures great and smoke. I mean, small. Great and small. Lots of them with brains. And then, bazam! But you're part of it, said Aziraphale. You tempt people. You're good at it. Crawley thumped his glass on the table. That's different. They don't have to say yes. That's the ineffable bit, right? Your side made it up. You've got to keep testing people, but not to destruction. All right, all right. I don't like it any more than you. But I told you I can't not do what I'm told. I'm an angel. There's no theatres in heaven, said Crowley, and very few films. Don't you try to tempt me, said Aziraphale wretchedly. I know you, you old serpent. Just you think about it, said Crowley relentlessly. You know what eternity is? You know what eternity is? I mean, do you know what eternity is? There's this big mountain, see, a mile high at the end of the universe, and once every 1,000 years, there's this little bird. What little bird? Said Aziraphale suspiciously. The little bird I'm talking about. And every 1,000 years, the same bird, every 1,000 years. Crowley hesitated.
Yeah?
He said. Bloody ancient bird, then. Okay, and every 1,000 years, this bird flies all the way to this mountain and sharpens its beak. Hold on. You can't do that. Between here and the end of the universe, there's loads of... The angel waved a hand expansively, if a little unsteadily. Loads of bugger all, dear boy. But it gets there anyway, Crawley persevered. How? It doesn't matter. It could use a spaceship, said the angel. Crawley subsided a bit. Yeah, he said, if you like. Anyway, this bird, only it is the end of the universe we're talking about, said Aziraphale. So it'd have to be one of those spaceships where your descendants are the ones who get out at the other end. You have to tell your descendants. You say, when you get to the mountain, you've got to... He hesitated. What have they got to do? Sharpen its beak on the mountain, said Crowley. And then it flies back in the spaceship. And after 1,000 years, it goes and does it all again, said Crowley, quickly. There was a moment of drunken silence. Seems a lot of effort just to sharpen a beak. Mused Aziraphale. Listen, said Crowley urgently. The point is that when the bird has worn the mountain down to nothing, right, then... Aziraphale opened his mouth. Crowley just knew he was going to make some point about the relative hardness of birds' beaks and granite mountains and plunged on quickly. Then you still won't have finished watching The Sound of Music. Aziraphale froze. And you'll enjoy it, Crowley said relentlessly. You really will, my dear boy. You won't have a choice. Listen, heaven has no taste now, and not one single sushi restaurant. A look of pain crossed the angel's suddenly very serious face. I can't cope with this when I'm drunk, he said. I'm going to... sober up.
Me too.
They both winced as the alcohol left their bloodstreams and sat up a bit more neatly. Aziraphale straightened his tie.
I can't interfere with divine plans, he croaked.
Crowley looked speculatively into his glass and then filled it again.
What about diabolical ones? He said.
Pardon? Well, it's got to be a diabolical plan, hasn't it? We're doing it. My side. Ah, but it's all part of the overall divine plan. said Aziraphale. Your side can't do anything without it being part of the ineffable divine plan, he added, with a trace of smugness.
You wish.
No, that's the... Aziraphale snapped his fingers irritably. The thing, what do you call it in your colourful idiom? The line at the bottom.
The bottom line.
Yes, it's that.
Well, if you're sure, said Crawley.
No doubt about it. Crawley looked up slyly.
Then you can't be certain, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't be certain that thwarting it isn't part of the divine plan, too. I mean, you're supposed to thwart the wiles of the evil one at every turn, aren't you?
Aziraphale hesitated. There is that, yes.
You see a wile, you thwart.
Am I right? Broadly. Actually, I encourage humans to do the actual thwarting because of ineffability, you understand?
Right. So, all you've got to do is thwart, because if I know anything, said Crawley urgently, it's that the birth is just the start. It's the upbringing that's important. It's the influences. Otherwise, the child will never learn to use its powers. He hesitated. At least, not necessarily as intended.
Certainly. Our side won't mind me thwarting you, said Aziraphale, thoughtfully. They won't mind that at all.